Hello, and welcome to the Service Contractor's Business Tape CD of the Month. This monthly cassette CD series represents yet another step in accomplishing Granting Associates' vision of teaching contractors how to run profitable companies. Each month, a different national speaker from throughout the service and trades industry shares dozens of cost-reducing, profit-increasing ideas to help you become a more profitable company. This month, Bill Ligon is going to share two startling facts. The first is that most service departments are losing money. The second fact is that the only real way to charge what you really need to charge is by switching to flat rate pricing. Although Bill has an HVAC background, you will find that what he has to say translates to nearly every trade in the industry. Bill knows what he's talking about. He owned a company that charged based on time and material, and he made the transition to flat rate pricing. He now goes all over the country speaking, consulting, and sharing what he has learned with the trades industry. Bill's presentation is actually taken from a live presentation he made at Comfort Tech. Comfort Tech is the premier HVAC education conference in the country, and this presentation is being used with their permission. I believe you'll find this presentation both eye-opening as well as entertaining. Now, let's hear what Bill has to say.
A little bit about my business. You know, you come to these things, and probably all you guys, you're going to be appalled and know that you're actually talking, came to a meeting, and a guy's going to be talking to you that was a relatively pretty small contractor. The last 5 years I was in business, I did about $1 million. Just $1 million. Hell, I was tickled to death to do $1 million. I thought that was a big deal, and it was a big deal when I reached that point. But I wasn't a big contractor. We were true mom and pop. My wife did the bookkeeping. I had 7 people, including Deborah and I, and that was our company. But I can tell you this, we took a lot of money out of a small company, and we took a lot of money out of a company that just really didn't, we didn't do any new construction, we just did service, we ended up just doing service and replacement, retrofit. That was our business. A little bit of commercial, the same thing, retrofit. But that gives you an idea about our business. In 1991, I went to a meeting at my distributor over in Dallas. It's 186 miles from Shreveport to Dallas. And so I went over there, and I hadn't told y'all all about me, but I know it's hard to believe, but I wasn't always wildly successful. In fact, after 3.5 years of being in business, I was bankrupt. Man, I was working myself to death like a lot of people in this industry and having a great time, and I thought everything was wonderful. It was just one problem. I couldn't pay those distributors back there. I couldn't pay my bills. And what's worse than that, I didn't really know why I couldn't pay my bills. And I think I represented a lot of the people in our industry. But by 1991, we were just kind of bumping along, you know, getting by, doing pretty good, but not really making any serious money. So I went to this meeting in Dallas at my distributors, and they had a young guy there named Jim Kimmons, and you guys all have heard of Jim Kimmons, or probably you have. And I sat through his presentation about this same subject, flat rate pricing. And I thought that was really a great deal. Now, I never had heard of it before. Now, at Air Comfort Center, the person that controlled the checkbook was, I bet you know who. It was Deborah. It was my wife. I didn't make many financial decisions of any size that she didn't approve. I hadn't earned a lot of credibility in the financial area. And so she says, you know, hey, don't spend any money. I went to this meeting, and I'm telling you guys, I was totally impressed. I said, gee whiz, this is what I'm going to do. And I paid about $2,000 for this program. All the way back from Dallas to Shreveport, I'm thinking, what am I going to tell Deborah? What am I going to tell her? How is she going to feel about this? And I wasn't really scared of her. You know that. You know what I mean. But I was nervous about it. And so I came back, and she said, well, how was the meeting? And I said, oh, it was terrific. Oh, it's wonderful. And I said, boy, and I got this thing. It's just going to be great, man. I'm going to get a book. I'm going to get a book. It's going to have all these prices in it. It's going to have everything already done, and we're going to be able to charge more, and we're going to make money, and boy, it's going to be great. And I tried to be enthusiastic and tell her about it. And she, all the time I'm talking to her, she just, you ever do this? She stood this way a lot. She didn't change expressions one time. And when we got through, I said, "What do you think about it?" She said, "Well, from the way you've described it, it sounds like to me we're going to do something that ain't nobody has ever done before in Shreveport, Louisiana. And from what you tell me, it sounds like we're going to lose all of our customers. Our technicians are going to hate this deal. And we'll probably be out of business in 6 months. Other than that, it sounds like a good decision." I'm not making this up. This is a true story. And almost exactly 45 days later. Almost exactly 45 days later, and I can see her standing in the doorway of my office. And she's standing there like this. She says, "I'll tell you one thing, Bill Ligon. In your lifetime, you've made at least two good decisions." Guys, it changed our business life like nothing to do. I mean, it was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. Man, I jumped into it scared to death. In 1991, I went from $40 an hour to $70. I didn't want nobody to know. I didn't want nobody to know that we went from $40 to $70 in 1991. How many years ago? That's like 15 years ago. I do financial management courses and go around, and I've done 30 or 40 of them in the last couple of years. And I'll find out what people are charging for service, time and material guys. And you know what the average is? It's about $50 to $55. So you're competing with guys out there that are charging $50, $55 an hour. I'm going to talk a little bit about comparing time and material with flat rate. That's who I am. So I'm about $1 million dealer. Sold my business. I love it. I love the industry. I love talking to heat and air guys. I really get a charge out of it. I really want to help somebody make a decision that's going to help them in their business. And I think I'm doing that. Really, I'm a sales guy. In my business, I'm one of those guys that I can't hang a thermostat on the wall. I never did learn to do that. Not once. I'm not proud of that, but I came from the sales side. And today, I'm out here trying to sell an idea. I'm selling an idea to you, and here it is. The idea is this. If you would start using flat rate pricing in your business, in your service department, some good things will happen to you and your company. To your customers and to your employees. If you make the decision to implement flat rate pricing in your business, it's going to help your company and you. It's going to help your customer. It's going to help your employees. That's the idea. A show of hands. How many of you are right now using flat rate? Okay, so what would you say there? But Susan, what would you think? 50%? How much? Three-fourths are already using flat rate. And that's great. So the guys that are not yet using flat rate, kind of look around you. Something else to think of. And this is not on the slide. Can you think of any industry or any type of business other than air conditioning, plumbing, maybe electrical, that charges on time and material. You know, you sure as heck can't go to the grocery store. You can't go to the grocery store. They don't charge you on time and material. Would you hire a guy to paint your house on time and material? I don't think so. Or a kid to mow your yard? Any business, I can't think of any industry except those three, and maybe you can think of another, maybe some appliance repair guys do that. But for somehow or another in our industry, we're behind the track. How did that happen? I don't know how it happened. You know, I just went into business and thought I knew a lot about it, and that's what everybody else did, so heck, that's what I did. Help your company, your customers, and your employees. What about the problems now? Why change what I'm doing? I'm going to just list those problems. I don't know if that's a problem. That's more of a question, isn't it? Why change what I'm doing? The 40% of you guys that are not yet on flat rate, I'm talking to you, and of the 60% that are already using some form of flat rate, what I want to talk to you about is, are you really using it effectively, and is it really doing what it's supposed to do and should do for your company? I have a lot of guys say, yeah, I use flat rate. When's the last time you either updated your prices or updated your books? And, you know, 3 years, 2 years. That's not using it effectively. Why change what I'm doing? We're going to cover that. Am I overcharging my customer? We're going to talk about that. Will my customers accept flat rate pricing? And what about the techs? Are they going to like it? How do I use the cotton picking books when I get them in my hand? What do we do with them? So we'll talk about those things. By the way, I got about a 3-hour presentation here that I'm trying to get into an hour and a half. And I've got most of those slides in your books, and you can take a look at them. But we're not going to get through all these slides. I know that. But we're going to go as far as we can. I get excited. I want to talk about the things that really mean something to me, and I hope they're going to mean something to you. The HVAC industry. As an industry, we don't make much money. Probably the people that come to Comfortech, from my experience, are the most successful contractors. So I may not be speaking to you directly. But as an industry, it's a sorry industry for making a profit. The industry average, and you guys have heard all these numbers before, it's somewhere between 2.5% and about 4% profit. That's not very good. For some of you guys, you know, it may not really pick up on that. That means if you sell something for a dollar, and you're a 2.5% guy, you get to keep 2.5 cents, and then you got to take the taxes out of that. And when you think of the risk and everything that's involved, and you're operating a cotton picking business, we're just not making enough money. As an industry, it's a poor deal. According to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, 5% of the contractors in our industry are making about 95% of the profit. Now think about that. 5% of the contractors in our industry are making 95% of the profit that's made in our industry. Steve's up here. He just graduated from college. His father has an air conditioning business, and he's kind of wondering what to do with his life. And we were talking, I hope you don't mind me talking about this, but I said, man, to be your age, 25, the whole world's out there in front of you, and the opportunities that there are in the air conditioning business, I mean, they're fantastic. I hope you make a decision to stay in this field, because it is a lucrative field if you do it right. We're not making money primarily in our service departments. I told you before, I do financial deals, and I go around and work with these guys, and we try to departmentalize their business and find out what they're really making in what parts of their companies. And I've done a bunch of them over the last 2.5 years, and I love to do it. This will give you a feel for it. Of the last 3 workshops that I've done, and where we actually went in and departmentalized people's incomes, 2 out of 40 dealers. Two out of 40 dealers were showing some profit in their service operation. Two. Most of the people that you compete with, and maybe some of you guys in this room, don't break out your sales against, you said, well, I did $2 million last year. Well, how much are you doing in service? Well, I'm not sure how much I did in service. How much are you doing in new construction? Well, I don't really have. As an industry, we don't even break out the sales. The guys that you compete with, they don't know. And you wonder why they're lowballing you all the time. They don't know where they are. And some of the people in this room probably don't know. And certainly it's Comfort Tech. They don't know. But the bottom line is we're losing money in our service departments. How can I be losing money, Mr. Ligon? How can I be losing money? You're telling me that if I buy a motor for $40 and I sell it for $100, you're telling me I'm losing money on that transaction? Heck, I don't believe it. There's no way. Are you telling me that if I pay my technician $15 an hour and charge $55, how can I be losing money? I'm not losing money. You're wrong. Folks, we're losing money. We are losing money in the service part of our operation. If everybody here knew what I know and what some of you already know, there'd be no doubt that you'd know and you'd say, oh, gosh, I better do something about it. Now, why is this? As an industry, we're a bunch of smart people. We're a bunch of smart people. I'm not talking about education. You know, some of you guys have got maybe degrees from MIT. We're not talking about that. We're talking about we are smart in this industry. We can design systems for big buildings and wonderful houses. Y'all all saw those award winners yesterday, yeah? Those guys know what the heck they're doing. They're smart people. And in our industry, you got to be smart to do all this stuff. We're intelligent. We do good work. We do good work. By and large, I think we do great work in our industry. And even those competitors that are losing money and not making any money in their total business, they're giving good service. They're dedicated to their customers. Ms. Jones called and said, get out of here and fix this thing. They're running and jumping. So we're smart, we're intelligent, we know what we're doing, we do good work, we do good service, we're committed to our businesses, I mean, that's our life, and we're not making any money. Why? Well, you know, what's the deal here? If all this, you know, if this is true, so what's the problem? Here's what I think. The problem is, we don't really believe that we're not making money in our service department. We don't believe it. If we believed that we were losing $23,000, if in your business and we can, the CPA at the end of the year, your bookkeeper says, I hate to tell you, Eddie, you lost $23,000 last year in your service department. I'm betting that Eddie is going to make a decision to do something about that. If he knew that. The problem is, from an industry standpoint, we don't know that. We don't know where we're making money and losing money. Don't you agree with that? We don't know. We don't know. A lot of you guys know. But most of your competition, they don't know. But we're losing money in our service department. Yes, you are losing money in your service department. Even some of you guys, If we really knew what was happening in our businesses, the problem is we don't know what our overhead is. We don't departmentalize our business. I was putting on a deal like this down in Texarkana, Arkansas, at a ACA group meeting down there, and Mike Carter, he was one of the bigger dealers in Texarkana. He just couldn't stand it anymore, and he said, "Can I say something?" I said, "Sure, Mike, go ahead." He said, "When I finally learned how to departmentalize my business and find out what my overhead was in the service department," he said, "I found out that I was losing $60,000 a year." This guy's about $1.2 million in size. He found out where the hole was, and he did something about it, and he corrected it. And where does that, by the way, if he corrects that $60,000 loss, where does that go? Right to the bottom line. So I'm saying this is what the real problem is. Some of the problems of this, that, gee whiz, the copy of manufacturing, y'all have seen these kinds of things before. How many of y'all ever been to a flat rate presentation before? Hold up your hand. Okay, well, maybe all of you hadn't been. Does this burn you up? The guy comes out to fix your copier, and he drives up in a little car, as opposed to we go out to Ms. Jones's house, we got a $40,000 truck and hardware and an inventory and a high-priced guy out there. It just makes me so dang mad. Look at me, I'm carrying a briefcase, and I charge $100 more per hour than you do. And here we got all these tools and all this stuff on all these trucks. The copier manufacturer, what is the risk of fixing a copier? Dang little. You know, they just change all those little modules. Oh, thank you. And they hold out their hand, and they get a big bill for that. What's the risk? And what's the risk, right, that you run every time you go out and do an air conditioning system? I mean, what is it the gas do? You're going to blow up the cotton picking house. You guys are getting the picture. I hope you do, because 31 cents a mile to run a car, maybe, approximately $1 an hour, a mile for a truck. Equipment expense, cost to put a technician out there is one compared to the other. It is so far apart. Parts, it's the same thing. You got all these parts and all that stuff on that expensive truck, and I believe that if you really knew, Eddie, that you were losing $23,000 in that department, I think you'd do something about it. The overhead is just high-end service. Tom Grandy, how many of y'all been to Tom's deal? He's got a great presentation. But Tom says that the unapplied time in the service department is about somewhere between, on the low end, 35% up to about 55%. So you got 15 guys running around out there, Barry. You're getting, at 50%, you're just getting half their time that you're able to bill. So the overhead is extremely high in the service business. But as an industry, we don't know that. And part of my message is I'm talking about flat rate as a cure to help you overcome this. But you're going to have to find out in your businesses what it's really costing you to do business in your service operation. And I suggest you do it in all those other operations. But it's a problem. It's a terrific problem. Your service department is a big problem. Problem number one. Why change what I'm doing? Well, heck, what else have I got to say about that? Why change what I'm doing? On the back of my business card, it says, by the way, Ligon's Law. I should have that up there on the screen, but Ligon's Law says, if you keep on doing what you're doing, you're going to keep on making what you're making. I did a class down in Jackson, Mississippi, and Tom's been to one of my classes, but I actually had everybody stand up, but I made him repeat that over and over. I said, okay, everybody stand up, and I said, let's all hold hands. So everybody stood up, and they were embarrassed. They were all holding hands, and I said, okay, now repeat after me. If you keep on doing what you're doing, you're going to keep on making what you're making. I think they got that message. I quit doing that, though, because I noticed at the break, two old boys in the back there, they were walking down the hall, and they were holding hands. Why change what I'm doing? I hope that you're getting the message of why you should change. Why change what I'm doing? If you're happy where you are, I think you ought to keep on doing what you're doing. If you're making all the money that you want to make out of this business, I think you ought to keep on doing what you're doing. Now, yesterday morning, the guy was talking about Mike Taylor. I thought he gave a wonderful speech. He's talking about the passion and we're not in the, you know, there's more to the business than making money and all that. But the facts are this. The day you decided to hang up your shingle and open up your own shop, he said, I am now the president of Air Comfort Center. You made a decision then. It does matter. It does matter. In business, profit is the gauge of whether you're doing, being successful in the business, in my opinion. It does matter. And you need to find out in your own businesses where you're making money and where you're not making money. Why change what you're doing? Gee, I don't know how else to say it. You better change. We can't afford not to change in our industries. Problem number two, am I overcharging my customer? What do I need to say about that? Some of you, and my wife in particular, that was her first thing. Am I overcharging my customer? I think if you knew where you were in your business and you found out that you needed to raise your price, that you were actually losing money in that department, you're not overcharging your customer. You're charging what you have to charge to make your business profitable. Any husband or wife teams in here? You too? I love this business because there's a lot of that. There's a lot of that. And one of my little deals is, you know, when you decide, if you could identify that you had lost, let's use that example, $23,000 in your service department, I'll bet you that your wife, particularly she's your bookkeeper, she might want you to do something about that. Overcharging your customer? Hey, if you feel like you're gouging a customer, then I think you're probably, maybe you are overcharging the customer. I don't know. I had a guy tell me yesterday that a consultant, somebody here, said, hey, if you're not charging over $300 an hour on your flat rate, that, you're not going to make it. Well, I disagree with that. In fact, it really upsets me to hear something like that. What you need to find out is, you got to make a decision, Eddie. What do you want to make out of your business? What is your profit? What is the profit goal in the service department? 15%? 10%? I don't know. You decide. But you decide what it needs to be for the risk that you're taking in your business. You make that decision. And then whatever it is whatever it is. And then you design a flat rate system or a flat rate pricing system that will render that much profit. That's really the deal. Am I overcharging? Yes, there's some people look at this as a license to overcharge. And I don't think that's right. I don't think that's right. You know, what's good for the customer ultimately is going to be good for you. Overcharging my customer? I don't think so. There's only two ways to price service. Only two ways, time and material, or some kind of a flat rate deal. The problem with time and materials is this. If you're a time and material dealer, I think you really got a problem. If you were to identify the fact that you had a problem, what can you do about it? I talked to some guys yesterday that said, I said, what's your street rate here? He said, $85. I said, $85? I said, man, if you were in Little Rock, Arkansas, you'd be fired by your customer. Well, I'm here in St. Louis. Well, maybe St. Louis is used to paying that. But I'm telling you, Ms. Jones will fire you if you get much over that on time and material. She doesn't understand about your problems. She doesn't know about your overhead. She don't care about it. What ultimately really what she wants, Eddie, she wants it fixed. And if you're on time and material, you're in a box. If you determined that you needed to raise your price, how are you going to do it? Well, Ms. Jones, we're out here and we're going to fix this condenser fan motor, and the motor is going to cost $150, and I'm going to charge you $150 worth of labor. In your dreams, no way. I'm not paying it. I'm not paying it. Thanks a lot, Eddie. I'll call somebody else. There's a limit to what customers will pay, in my opinion. And if you're on time material, you just, I don't know how you get out of the box. I don't know how you do your deal. If you need to raise your price, how in the heck are you going to do it? There's only so far you can go. That's a real problem with time material. How are you going to get it done? It's a failure, in my opinion, because we're losing money virtually every time we make a service call. I will tell you this. I cannot think. And there may be some in this room, but I don't know personally And all, you know, you can tell I've been around a long time and I've seen talked to lots of contractors. I don't know of any time and material service contractor that is making serious money in their service department. I don't know of a one. Not a one. And so you 40% out there that are not using flat rate, that ought to be maybe a little signal there. Maybe a light may come on. Say, well, gee, that old guy don't know anybody. Another thing that I think about is everybody that I do know that's making serious money, everybody that I know making serious money in this industry are all using some form of flat rate. Every one of them. Contractors 2000, Airtime, AirServe, ISL, Sears and Roebuck. Can you think of anybody that's not, every one of those guys are all using some form of flat rate. And doggone it, the message it should be clear, it seems to me, that if you're going to make money in this business, I don't know how you're going to do it on time and material. I don't. As a matter of fact, most of us, Ms. Jones calls and the phone rings. She said, well, Bill, I want you to come out and fix my unit. It's off. We're burning up. And, you know, the baby's always sick and grandma's there and laying on her last days in the bed and everything's an emergency. You get out here right now. Oh, and by the way, how much you charging now? Well, I'll tell you what, Ms. Jones, here's what I think we ought to do. Ms. Jones, give me your name and address. Ms. Edna Jones and 123 Hickory Street. I tell you what, Ms. Jones, I'm just going to write you a check for $22. Call Eddie. I can't afford to come out there. That's really where we ought to be. That's true. We're losing money every time we go on a service call. Now, if you really knew that, well, hell, how can that be? I already went through that slide. How can I be losing money? I just don't believe it, Mr. Ligon. Well, that's the real world. Now, whether you accept that or not, I think that's where we are. So just write him a check and let Eddie go do it. Yeah, let Eddie go do it. He's a nice guy. We're losing money almost every time we make a service call. I would have shown this thing. Customers do not know the final cost until the work is done on time material. Isn't that right? Oh, no, not me. I always give them an estimate. It'll be between $200 and $300. What did Ms. Jones just hear? $200. No, she heard $200. And you crawl out of the attic, or your technicians crawl out of the attic, and they're wet from head to toe and got insulation down their shirt, and they're half mad about everything and scared to death to give Ms. Jones that bill. That's the reason they won't collect. You can't collect them. Technicians, they don't want to take the heat. They want Barry to take the heat. He's a service manager. Well, as a matter of fact, how much is it? Well, I don't know exactly. We'll send you a bill. Isn't that what happens out there? And then 3 weeks later, they finally get the cotton picking bill from the company. And by that time, it's something else has happened to the union, and they're not about to pay for that stuff. I'm telling you, it is a real problem. But customers don't know how much it's going to cost. Well, it was only $288, Ms. Jones. Well, you said $200. I can't believe you did that to me, Gary. That's the real world. We have to get an explanation, which invites criticism. Well, I charge $85 an hour. What? $85? How can you do that? Eddie, I've known you since you was a little kid. I taught you in the first grade, and you're charging me $85. You must be kidding. You must be kidding. I'm not paying it. All right, is this right? Arguments of time. Well, he didn't get there. I tell you what, I was standing on the front porch and I was looking out there and he drove up at 12:15 and he left 23 minutes later. I got him. Arguments, when he got there, when he left, how fast he worked. Customers don't want to listen to any lengthy explanations of what they ought to be doing and to sell them new stuff. How much is your service call? What's your hourly rate? Gosh dang, we come up with, well, we charge $35 for showing up there and $15 and quarter hour after that, and that's a dollar a minute. blah, 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 blah. Customers don't know what the heck you charge. They don't know what you charge. Just in your mind right quick, how much a minute is that price right there? She hangs up and she says, how much did he say he charged, isn't it? Well, I don't know. I think it was $70. I don't know how much it is. Well, it sounds like to me it's $1.17 a minute. That guy better be dang good. You mark down when he got here and when he left. I mean, that's the real world out there, and you guys all know that. But that's what's happening to you out there in your time material. You hire a technician and begin to spend money training him, and the more you spend, the better he gets. The better he gets, the faster he gets. The faster he gets, the less money you take in. You ever think about it that way? Oh, I got the finest tools and things that money can buy. I want Gary to be the best out there. And so Gary, because he's got all these new tools that you just bought for him, which he's going to lose. And then what happens? He does the work instead of taking an hour, he does it in 30 minutes. Well, I'm billing for a whole hour. You know the problem. Fast technicians cost you money. Slow technicians bill out more and get paid less. Is that good for your customer? It is absolutely not good for the customer. We had a young guy working for us, the Italian kid. Good looking guy, my wife said. Worked out, and the ladies loved him. And he was so damn sweet. Excuse me, I'm trying hard because this is being recorded. He was so nice and so sweet. And he yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. I mean, this guy, he was dripped in sugar. I mean, yeah. But people liked him. Only problem was he couldn't fix squat. He keep changing parts. Well, I put this thing on. Well, it didn't work. Put this on. Put that in. By God, I fixed it. I fixed that sucker. People would call up and say, is John, my unit's out. Can you send John? Well, no, he's out on a call. Well, I'll just wait till tomorrow. Deborah and I look at each other. Oh, my gosh. So, all you guys that decide to stay on time material, what I suggest you do is hire a good-looking kid that don't know how to fix anything. He'll sell you a lot of parts. Time material is not in the customer's best interest, in my view. Why should you do flat rate pricing? Why? You're nothing more than a glorified maintenance man. How can you charge that much per hour? We don't get a very good rep in our business, do we? ABC and NBC and Nightline and Dateline and you know, those crooks down in Houston, and there's crooks everywhere. And our reputation as an industry is not very good. And people don't trust us. Society doesn't think much of the butt crack industry. You got this picture of this big old boy out there looking over that, he leaned over on that unit, and Miss Jones is looking out the bathroom window. It's a sorry sight, I tell you. That one. One lady in one of my glasses, she said, well, but that's a good place to keep your flashlight. Good place to keep your flashlight. Raise your price. Tell the customer what it's going to be before you start the work. That's the key, guys. Give them some options. You'll have happier customers. And your company, I think, is going to prosper. It certainly did for me.
As always, we welcome your feedback on each month's presentation. Feel free to give us a call with your comments, or if you prefer, you may fax or email our office. As a reminder, our 3-day basic business boot camp continues to help contractors learn how to run profitable businesses. For more information on our ProfitMax software and or our 3-day basic business boot camps, simply call or write Grandy & Associates or check us out on the web. The address is www.grandyassociates.com. The address is the same as in the past, but the website has been totally redesigned in terms of its content. You can now order online, view boot camp locations, and even sign up for a class online. Take a look as you have time. It might just increase your bottom line profit a bit. The Service Contractor's Business Tape of the Month is produced and distributed by Grandy & Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line at 1-800-432-7963. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.